Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will link to below. Now, Joel, you and I have been chatting off mic for a little while here, just discussing the market environment today, which is, in all fairness, seems to be entirely different than pretty much any day we have seen this year already. There is a clear risk on trade with the Russell 2000, so small caps leading the way, also NASDAQ leading the way. Yields are down. All the defensive stocks or all the defensive sectors seem to be down, except for the dollar. The dollar is continuing to climb higher, close to 101 on the dollar index. But overall, Joel, any idea what's causing this rally today or this almost complete flip in what investors are playing, which seems to be more the risk on today?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I wish I had an answer for you. There's a couple different factors leading up to this rally, perhaps. The market has been under pressure for higher crude prices, and crude's taken a hit today, down 556. It was a strange day yesterday, and I just think that there's a mentality out there is that we have to go to an imminent recession. We're going to go from 3% unemployment to a recession / depression, and I just think you get the boat loaded one way. Mr. Market likes to, punish the most amount of people the most amount of time, and it sure looked bleak, Well, it's very confusing market because we were at the lows of the session, pretty much the lows of the regular session with 5 minutes to go yesterday. And there was an explosive rally. And then you got some comments out of Bullard and it tacked on another 20 handles. So, for my, kind of field trading instinctual, looking at the markets, I was bullish. I'm like, wow, what a strong close. But then you had, weakness in the pre-market. Yeah, you gave it all back. You were deep in the red. And I'm like, well, no, I got to be bearish. And then I ended up doing none-ish, which I'm glad. But that's really all I could say. And then maybe earnings. We could talk about earnings if you want.
Yeah, we'll get into earnings. But one thing we should also say, too, is one day doesn't make a trend, right? And whether you look at a daily, weekly, or monthly chart, these charts for the broad averages, they still do look weak, right? They're clearly still under pressure, but today is a good day. So what sort of follow through would you need to see to actually say, okay, this is more than just a dead cat or even shortable bounce?
That's a really good question. And I would, obviously a couple day rally, right? Like not give it right back tomorrow. Right. Is when, one thing you like to see, even if you give it back, maybe a couple of days of consolidation. I like to look at things on a numerical basis. So for me, to get bullish on the quarter, I would need to see like another 30 handle rise in the S&P to change, to change me from bearish to neutral. And then if we could somehow get back above and hold 44.75, then I would be positive for the remainder of the quarter. I just think, though, that I don't know if I've said this on this broadcast or other broadcasts. Do we have to go straight down? Do we have to go back to 4,100? Do we have to go back up to 4,800 and make a new high? Or it could just be a trading range, to see where, until the inflation thing filters itself out. So I'm more in, the trading range camp, and we'll see where, what we come up with now. See if we get in the upper end of a trading range and then kind of do the seesaw kind of action. We've had some incredible years in the market, Corey. 2020, 2021, you can't have those years every year. So to have a seesaw year might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, especially with everybody, again, just on one side of the boat saying crash is coming, recession is coming. It never comes when everyone thinks it's coming. We always need to discount that. Let's also talk about earnings. Anything early on in the earnings reports, especially out of the banks, that are catching your eye here, Joel?
Yeah, I think, and you know, if I have to throw another hero out here in the market, I mean, I think I'll throw two heroes out here. One is Delta Airlines. They had a nice beat, kind of giving some life to the reopening trade. That was last week. So I'll be on the reopening trade bandwagon. I think that just the way the banks have been selling, wow, Delta's up another $1.27 today. You know, the way the banks have acted this year, you know, they haven't acted like interest rates are going up. No, how have they acted? They've acted like we're in a full-blown recession, that no one's going to want to, you know, get loans and everything. And they, you know, JP Morgan did not act well after its report. So I was kind of nervous about Bank America. Now, Bank America made a new low for the move, you know, for the year. Yesterday after the report, but it caught a bid, and now it's, you know, it had a nice gain yesterday, and it's up 62 cents today. So there's your saviors, Delta and Bank of America, and you know, you got your big boys on deck for later in the week. But early on in the season, I'd say that those are the two stocks that are giving me some encouragement in the market.
Okay. And that's kind of the thing, though, right, Joel, is that it's not just all negative out there, right? We have probably already gone through a lot of that reopened trade, but there are still some pockets that seem to be able to run, I guess, and we can call it a reopened trade, but it feels like that kind of came last year, at least in the U.S., as other countries now more reopened to catch up to the U.S. So does that filter down into the U.S. data, this whole concept of a reopen trade? How do you take it now?
Well, if you're in Shanghai, you know, yeah. It's a whole different story. I think, you know, besides the rising oil prices, or, you know, and gasoline and, you know, the higher prices, I mean, people want to get out, you know, people want to do things. And so I think, you know, that, you know, regardless, you know, maybe things are going to be a little bit more expensive, but maybe they didn't spend as much money over the last couple of years. You know, Europe is a big, you know, a big worry, the war with Ukraine going on. I don't know if it's just a dead cat bounce here and, you know, people getting hyped up for some of the travel, or it's just that pent up demand, you know, being pulled forward from the pandemic.
Yeah, it's tough to tell exactly what's causing these moves. But again, just interesting to see the move that we are seeing today, at least in these markets, a bit more risk on. Any thoughts on any of the commodities or metals then outside of crude? Because we are seeing weakness almost across the board in the commodity sector.
Yeah, I mean, gold that built that nice base and then had flirted with 2,000. So that was a little disappointing to see that pullback. I mean, I mentioned the crude market, worries about the natural gas. I mean, let's see how that's doing today. Wheat, I'm just looking at wheat. Wheat's coming off a little bit. That hasn't gotten back to its peak. Let me look at natty gas. I mean, I think you had, you know, some worries. Natty gas is coming off again today. That was actually, it's down again today. So, you know, the higher fuel prices definitely, you know, put a worry in the market. Also, the higher wheat and, you know, grain prices. Have they peaked? It's hard to, crude just seems to be extremely volatile. And I think it's just going to be that way. Maybe a trading range in crude, you know, maybe from 90 to 110. So, certainly there's still a strong uptrend, and it doesn't look like, you know, they've broken yet. We'll need a period of consolidation first.
So Joel, how aggressive are you getting right now with your portfolio? I know you don't like to tinker with it too much, but all these cross currents, I've heard from many people, now is not the time to be trying to hit home runs or go all into anything.
No, I'm the same. You know, I'm very consistent. I don't try and time the market. Sticking with what I have, I've made the few small purchases that I've made, I'm down on. You know, so that's not a, you know, that's encouraging thing. You know, not an encouraging thing, but no, I'm just, you know, the only things I've had are, you know, I've added some cybersecurity issues a while ago. have a little bit in health care, but I don't try and time the market. I let the market time me.
Yeah, fair enough. And these markets right now, they are volatile. But to your point, maybe we are setting up a trading range, because throughout this year, you look at the S&P, high of just over 4,800 and lows of a little over 4,100. That's a wide range and could take a while to digest just how volatile it has been already this year. Joel, we'll wrap it up here. It's great chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat next week, and who knows what we'll be chatting about in these markets, because it continues to be a wild ride. And at least right now, today, and again, it's only today, we do seem to be getting this more risk-on attitude. Joel, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week.
Okay, thanks, Corey.